I look at our young adults and our teenagers and how thankful we are for that. And then all the age groups in between. And then Miss Dorothy coming up here with song. What a beautiful thing that is. And that is all family. That's everything we're talking about. Is Michelle here today? I'm looking around where she normally sits. Well, I just wondered before I get started, how many people have thought I'm sinning by eating too much food since Michelle talked? For the last 2 weeks, all I thought was Michelle's and splitting my plate up. And I have to admit, confession from the pulpit isn't great, but the other day at Pastor Jack's house, I said, "Michelle who?" as I piled more food on my plate. That's a true story. So I thought, man, that's great though, when somebody can impact the message where you're eating lunch or dinner and thinking, oh, what would Michelle think? Oh, it's not what would God think right now. I'm taking care of my temple. It's what would Michelle think if she were staring at me? So, Lordy, good job, Michelle. Thank you. You've ruined my dining habits. What is family? Many of us have different ideas and opinions of what family is. For some of us, it's love. It's a home. It's a happy home. It's a safe place. Togetherness, comfort, fun, happiness, tradition, training, trust, respect, openness. And then many people sit out there and say, man, I don't know what that is because that's not my family or that wasn't my family. For some, it's pain, hurt, suffering, abuse, loneliness. You can be in a family of 13 and be alone. Hatred, abandonment, sadness, undisciplined lifestyles, learning life on yourself rather than your parents teaching you, lies, disrespect, secrets. Two very different versions of what life is and what family is, as some of us know it. But today we want to talk about being thankful for family. Sometimes there's things in life that you don't want to forget. And sometimes there's things that you don't want to remember. You just want to forget them all. And many different times, because they're important time factors, think about where you were when big events in life happened. For some of you older people, you remember exactly where you were when Kennedy was shot. You remember where you were when Reagan was shot. You remember where you were when Ford tripped and fell again. You remember the Murrow bombing. I remember that vividly. You remember 9/11. I remember that vividly, exactly where I was. Sometimes it's event, it's TV shows, it's songs. I remember exactly where I was when I first heard, I Can Only Imagine from Mercy Me. I remember exactly where I was when I heard that song. I thought the beauty of that song connected me to the face of God in that instant, in that moment on I-40 in front of Tinker Air Force Base. We know exactly where we were when these things happened. The death of a loved one. Where were you when you got that call or that news? Landing on the moon many years ago. Different things for different people. Time factors and what your family were. That has to do with how we relate to things. We're going to get to our scripture in just a minute. If you would turn to Matthew 1, and we'll connect to that in just a minute. But Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. You'll see in a minute how riveting that is. How we deal with things in our family, how they got us to that point. In the beginning, in Genesis 22, it talks about Abraham. And he went up to the mountain, and God told him, you take your son as a sacrifice. And he walked up there, and the son says, but Father, there's no offering. And Abraham said, and I'm just reading, you have to turn there, but I'm just going back to Genesis 22. And he said, God will provide the offering. And as he put his son on the fire, they're tied up and put him on the fire as the offering, God stepped in right at that moment. And God said, you have been faithful and you have been obedient to me. I will spare your son. And he provided an offering at that time. A father changed the generations to come. God said, I will bless you and your generations to come. Parents, we have an opportunity to change our family if it's bad right now. And to provide a new lifestyle. We have an opportunity, mothers, to step in and provide a new lifestyle. Many people say, how can I do that? Well, I got to tell you, your obedience to God is helping train your children in obedience. Your disobedience is teaching them disobedience is okay. Your disobedience in the church, even, is teaching them. When you choose to come or sleep in to church, when you choose to tithe or not tithe, you're teaching them disobedience. You're teaching them it's okay if they don't feel like it to not attend. And these things are important. They're important to family, to tradition. They're important to obedience to God. Young people, you may think, I'm not a father or mother. How can I change this? You can change your friends, one friend at a time, and you can change their life forever. We witnessed that this summer at Falls Creek for the young people. What an amazing story that was. Abraham chose to raise his family to honor God, which in turn affected generations to come. We want people to know about Christ, and let's say we had a publisher came to each one of us and said, you need to write a book and tell people how to come to Christ. We probably would not start the book by saying, dear sinner, you deserve to go to hell. That's quite a horrible beginning to a great book, is it? I mean, we want to bring them to Christ, and our opening sentence is, dear sinner, you're going to hell. They'd probably close the book and think, oh my goodness, I don't want to read any more of that. Well, here in Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read another riveting author's beginning to a great book. And it's Matthew chapter 1, and it starts out, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now that's fascinating, isn't it? And then it gets even more riveting as we go on to verse 2. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and we go through several verses of that riveting beginning of the New Testament. That's the first book, the first lines, genealogy, and it goes on and on and on and mentions all these people in it. Genealogy, boring to most people. Certainly boring to read about it, unless it's your genealogy and you're thinking, well, I want to know if I'm related to Elvis or something like that. But when we read something like this, we probably think it's not the greatest opening to the greatest book ever written. Let me recheck this. Genealogy of Jesus Christ. If I saw that as a title, I'd probably put it back. But we know it is the first book, the first chapter, the first book in the New Testament. We all have genealogy. We all have family that we need to be thankful for. I can see some of you out there thinking, man, you have no idea. I mean, Uncle Fred and Aunt June and whatever. If anyone's named Fred or June in here, I'm sorry, okay? I'm just using those generic names. We have many different families. As I sit around and look, and as I look at my own family, we've got a lot of different things going on in our family. Divorces, stepmoms, stepdads, stepbrothers, stepsisters, stepsons, stepdaughters, adopted children's parents that have been adopted. If I were to ask you guys to stand up, if somehow that affected you, we'd probably have over half the congregation stand up. Our families mean different things than they used to. They're not the traditional family that they used to be, necessarily. Because we have all these different clauses in there. We have different sayings in there. And I want to read a little story about a young man that was adopted. It's a young man, and we'll just call him Joe Smith. His parents' name are Smith. So he's sitting at the place to be adopted. His parents come in, they look around, and they say, Smith, we're going to take him, and that's going to be John Smith here. You go home, you find out you've got brothers and sisters. They become your brothers and sisters. You become friends with them. You share a bedroom with your brothers. You share dinner with your siblings. When you go to school, teacher says, Joe Smith. You raise your hand, present. You're now Joe Smith. Because they've called you Smith. You become somebody else's child. Only when we get picked, we don't become Adam Smith and Joe Smith and Dorothy Smith. We become Christians. We've been adopted into the family by Jesus Christ. When we're adopted into the family as a child of God, He says that we are now His. There's no, we're His stepson. We're no, that's my half-son. I'm His stepfather. There's none of that. We are His children. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, and you don't have to go there, but you can if you want. It says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. We are His children. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He has called each and every one of us. Called us into His. We think, man, we can go in and we want to train our children. We want to teach them how to be great basketball players. So we have them doing free throws for 200 hours a day, making sure they get it right. We have them on batting practice for 6 hours a day. We want to leave a legacy to our children. My son's going to be the next all-star. And we get a little t-ball stand and we have him batting practice till his arms can swing no more. We want him to be the next best. And we train him to do all those things. We want him to eat healthy. We divide his plate up just so, if we're good parents. Then we want to teach them how to love God with all their heart and love their neighbors as themselves. But we forget along the way every now and then to instill the important things in their lives that will make the most important impact in their life. And those are character issues. A heart like grace, forgiveness, patience, faith, commitment, kindness in everything they do. Or we want to leave that up to the school teachers. And unfortunately, if you are not in a good school system, they're not going to teach that. But why do we forget those things? And more than likely, it's a lot easier for us to go out and shoot hoops with our son. Or hit the baseball and throw the baseball around with our sons. Than it would be to model those qualities, because we have to model those in our own life. And we forget those things. As we look at the church family, I'm thinking, man, this is a blended family, is it not? We'd have such a wide variety of backgrounds, past and the present. We are a blended family in here. And I got to tell you, I'm very thankful for my blended family. I watched, I love the show Monk. And that's just like the car called the Saab. Either you love it or you hate it. You either hate Monk or you love the show. But I watched it the other day. And Monk had some visitor come visit him. Well, it was his half-brother. And he kept saying, I'm your brother. Monk said, half-brother, half. And he just always corrected him. Someone knocked on the door. Who's this? Is this your brother? Half-brother, half. He's my half-brother. And at the very end of the show, his brother was a criminal, unfortunately. Monk was a detective. So he had to go back to prison. And Monk looked at him and said, that's my brother. He looked back and he said, I'm your half-brother. Monk said, I decided to round up. And I'm telling you today, we all need to round up in our families, and we need to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We need not say, that's that family, that's that family, that's that family. We need to round up. And where we have divorces and stepchildren, we need to round up. They either are our son and daughter, or they are not. And I thought, how fascinating, on a crazy show like Monk, that I was inspired to round up. I wasn't inspired to, but I was inspired to tell you guys, we need to round up. And we need to accept our brothers and sisters with all the differences that we have. Rounding up is an amazing thing. When you talk about half-brothers and the family. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and again, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to read this basically. It says, Romans 12:3 says, For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And this is what we open with. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same functions, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And I love that. Because we are one body in Christ. And I think if you look around, if you've been here a while, this body of Christ is rounding up day by day by day. And we are calling our brothers and sisters exactly what they are, brothers and sisters. Today's message on being thankful for family. I look around and again I see the youngest one in here. And we've got a young one that was back there, maybe out there that has been here. And those young ones are the beginning of life. And we have such a duty and such a responsibility to grow them and raise them in godly character and with godly characteristics. Now, Adam, you don't know my family. There's not much to be thankful for. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, He says we are His. And that's the family today that you need to be thankful for. Young people say, man, my family isn't here, but I'm here. Guess what? You're here with your family, your church family, your family of Christ. And we have rounded up, and we accept you, and we want you guys to round up and accept us. But that's the family you need to thank God for every day. You may have a mess going on at home. You may have abuse going on at home. But I invite you to come here and feel the comfort and the warmth and the love that we have to offer, but more importantly, that we have to offer through Jesus Christ. So many things to be thankful for. As we watched the video for the shoeboxes, the things they don't have. As Pastor Jack said, when we go to Guatemala, Haley saw firsthand, Megan saw firsthand when we went to Guatemala, what they don't have, but so thankful in everything that they have, and so gracious in giving what little they have. And how disrespectful would that be to look at that and go, well, is that all you have to give me? Today we are going to baptize 3 people into the family of Christ. They've accepted Jesus Christ. They've become part of the family. And today we're going to baptize them. What a great day that is when we baptize members of our family. They've come into the family. They've received Christ. And now they're going to do another act of faith, another step of faith in their walk. And they're going to be baptized. As we slow down in November to be thankful for so many different things, I think, man, is it just November we're thankful for? In August, is it possible that I could be thankful for my church family? I know that sometimes the family is hard to deal with, and we have to discipline, and as parents it's difficult to discipline. You know, we've got 3 children, and people say, I thought it was Austin. No, the hairy guy up in the sound booth is mine. The daughter that is at OU in college, she's ours also. Am I her biological father or Spencer's? No, I'm the stepfather. But guess what? They are my son and my daughter. I chose many years ago to round up, and I was very straightforward with them. I said, man, I know you've got a father. I respect that. I will never take that away. I will never try to. You don't need to call me dad. So long as it's decent, you can call me anything you want. But I don't make them call me that. I've heard some people say, you need to call me dad or father. But I also told them, you're my son and you're my daughter, and I will treat you just that way. Why? Because we fall under one roof. And in this roof, we're a family. A little tough at times. A little tough when you're going into new families, new relationships, blending those things together. Adopted children, stepparents. After a while, I thought, my goodness, I had to come to that they accepted me. I was accepting them and thinking, man, where's all the glory for that? Where's their glory for accepting me? Because they too had to round up. I don't think I treat them any different. Although I didn't know them when they were young. But right now, Spencer, do I hold back any discipline? No. He says no. He gets disciplined just like Austin would. Now he gets it differently. Austin's 9 and Spencer just turned 21. But he's still under the roof, so there's still discipline. And it's my discipline because he's my child. As what I'm trying to say is, when we round up, there's so many things going on. But when we round up and understand that there's the love of Jesus Christ in this family that should be in your family, regardless of the background. Today we're going to prepare to baptize in just a few minutes. And I want you to welcome those people. When they're done, go up and congratulate them. Go ahead and let them know. As a matter of fact, you got Eric coming. We're going to go ahead and get ready for that. And it'll take a few minutes to do that. Those of you being baptized, if you'll get your stuff and get prepared as we close, it's an exciting time. It's exciting to see those that have come back to Christ. Joanne said that she thought she had Jesus, but now she knows she has Jesus Christ. And it's the same way when we are thankful for our families. We thought we had a family, but now we know we have a family as brothers and sisters in the family of God. One more thing I want to read as we prepare to close and get ready for our baptism. God's Word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I want to tell you guys, there's people out there in your families that may have left you. There's people that have died. There's people that have walked out. There's people that have been kicked out. There's people that chose many different ways to leave you or abandon you. There's many people in the home that still have abandoned you. But Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As we prepare for the baptism today, I want you guys to think where you are and being thankful to God for your family. That could be the family you live in day in and day out. That could be your church family. And really, it can be both. Are you truly thankful for the family you're in, for the provisions? Are you truly thankful for your church family, for the provisions? Maybe today is your day to say, man, I'm ready to join a family that will be there for me, that will love me, that will accept me, that knows my background, but they're still going to love me. And then there's a painful truth that many people carry around on their back called the past or the present that they live in that's painful. Today we have an opportunity to just lay that at the altars, to give that to God. And I know there's some of you still carrying that around from parents, relatives, friends, people that have abused you, hurt you, let you down, neglected you, abandoned you. Maybe your mother or father, stepmother, stepfather, sons or daughters, boyfriends, girlfriends, friends. Right now, what I'd like to do is invite you to come up here and just pray on your own. Leave that to God. And then once you leave that to God, just let us know that you've left that there. Why? Because we want to make sure you don't revisit this altar and try and pick it back up. We did it so many times. We lay it at the altar, and then when no one's looking, we run back there and we pick it back up. Let us go to the Father in prayer right now. Father God, we just thank you so much. God, we're thankful for our church family. God, we are thankful for the families that we grew up in. We're thankful for the families that we have. God, all those things make us who and what we are today. God, our church family today may be the only family some of us have. And God, we want to make sure that we are just as thankful for our church family as we are for the natural family that you gave us. God, it's my heart and desire today that the blended families choose to round up today. Lord, that they don't bring division in their family, that they bring unity in their family, that the parents bring unity, that they call their children, and that the children call their parents, parents. God, we understand there's so many different things, but it's our desire to round up today and accept our brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, as we open the altars for those of you that may need to lay down past and present wounds, we just invite you at this time to come up and lay those here at the altar. If you're carrying around any baggage from the past, just to come up and lay it down. If you have maybe other prayer needs, right now is the time to come up and just lay those at the altar before we change our order of service. Maybe today you need to make a decision to join the family of Jesus Christ and find out who your new brothers and sisters are as He adopts you into His family. And you can do that through a simple prayer. If you've never received Jesus Christ and today you want to make that decision, just repeat after me. You can do it out loud. You can do it silently. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, but God, I know that You paid the price for me. I know that upon confession of my sins, God, and to call on Your name to come into my heart and in my life and be Lord of my life, that those sins will be forgiven. And I will be included in Your family. And I will join my new family and my new brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, if you made that decision while we're praying, if you'll just raise up your hand so we can acknowledge that, we can get you some brochures we have, some information to put in your hand. And as we close today, let us be reminded to be thankful each and every day of everything we have. Our bodies, Lord, that we take care of them. Our families, Lord, that we take care of them. And God, that we round up and accept our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. As we prepare for baptism, we're going to show a little video here, so if you guys will watch that, and then we'll get that out of the way.